There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and a brand new week to work with here on Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. My name is Sean. Next couple hours, we get to hang out. Phone number 343-0106. You have a place to call. That's cool. The Ascension Technologies text line is already popping at 343-0106. So the same number for both. And, of course, the talkback feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can use that as well. And our great social media platforms. Which, speaking of which, so let me congratulate Jay, our first winner for this season in the Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast picture competition. Remember how this works, right? You just heard the fancy promo guy saying it there. You go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Right there, you'll find the pinned post with the gardening pictures. Put up your gardening picture this week. Make sure it gets the most likes. Then you win the Plain Gardening planting wheel from Bill Finch. All you got to do is post that picture up and get the most likes. Check it out on the Facebook page. We'll talk more about that. But Jay, our first winner of 2023, good job out there. And yes, you've heard discussion of it this week. My phone's been popping since early this morning. It is our birthday. FM Talk 106.5 turning 14. Launched this back in May 1st of 2009. And you may say, May 1st? Why do you want to be? You're a Taurus, right? That's our sign, right? My people in the back know that's a Taurus, right? But that wasn't the reasoning for it. It was not a astrological sign thing. It was the fact that it could have been anywhere amongst a month or two that I could have launched a station, but today is the High Holy Red holiday, right? The communist holiday. And so with a little wink of the eye and tip of the hat, I decided to launch the station on May 1st. So this is our birthday each year, 14 years old for FM Talk 106.5. And I talk about this with you from time to time, probably not nearly enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whether it's ratings for the station and show or just the support overall in this community, y'all are great. It is, it happened, I mean, not to be cliche, but it happened because of y'all. And we continue to grow and grow because of y'all. So thank you. 14 years in the rear view and many more decades to come. At some point, they'll probably force me out of here and give me like a corner office with some file folders or something like that. But for the next couple decades, you and I will keep doing this. So thank you. And yeah, we're going to celebrate. We'll put some stuff up on social media shortly, how we're celebrating our birthday here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. And next year, we get our permit. I mean, I think we drive a motorcycle at 14. Is that still the deal? Which I never understood. I mean, I liked the idea when I was 14. I was like, hey, Mom and Dad, I can get a motorcycle. And they said, no, you can't. But you could drive the motorcycle at 14, but you got to wait. If your child wants to drive one of two vehicles, I'm going to put them in something that has more metal around them. But 15 years old next year for the station, then we'll get our learner's permit, and it'll be a big, big time. All right, as we get started on today's show, we will look at some state news. Of course, that grocery tax discussion that passed unanimously through the Senate last week, we'll talk about that. And first, though, let's keep it in the discussion of money. And this is big. This is, and let's go through the story of First Republic Bank, right? And then I want to hear from you on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. So as Wall Street Journal reports, three of the four largest ever U.S. bank failures have occurred in the past 2 months. Let's go back here, okay? It's not 2007, like we referenced last week, and we will bring back in the discussion of the Biden administration's plan that goes into effect today, going forward, and then another part of it coming into effect in August to charge you more money for having good credit when you go to get a mortgage, so they can put people in mortgages that might not need to get the mortgages. But yeah, but don't worry about that. That's 2007-2008. Three of the four largest ever U.S. bank failures have occurred in the past 2 months. First Republic. All right, that's what we're talking about. Regulators seized First Republic Bank and struck a deal to sell the bulk of its operations to, well, who else? J.P. Morgan Chase. So J.P. Morgan Chase, who has been there to pick up the pieces going forward. Remember, J.P. Morgan Chase back in 2007, 2008, they're still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're here to consolidate. Consolidate. I mean, if like there hasn't been enough consolidation in the banking world as it is, now we have even more being consolidated under the J.P. Morgan Chase umbrella. So J.P. Morgan said it will assume all of First Republic's $92 billion in deposits, insured and uninsured. Well, kind of. We'll get it. It's also buying most of the bank's assets, including about $173 billion in loans and $30 billion in security. And securities. As part of the agreement, the FDIC, oh, wait a second, didn't you just tell me that J.P. Morgan was taking this on themselves? It says, as part of the agreement, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, FDIC, will share the losses with J.P. Morgan on First Republic's loans. The agency estimated that its insurance fund would take a hit of $13 billion in the deal. J.P. Morgan also said it would receive $50 billion in financing from the FDIC. Okay, once again, so J.P. Morgan, that has just happened to be the key position here with these bank failures to continue to consolidate, said, you know, along with the FDIC, they will share the losses. The FDIC estimates its insurance fund would take a hit of $13 billion in the deal. By the way, that's us, right? That's we, the taxpayers, the money put up through the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And then J.P. Morgan says they're going to receive $50 billion in financing from the FDIC. So even as a communications major and English minor at the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, I can tell you that's $63 billion to the good for J.P. Morgan. So this First Republic Bank, which is the second largest bank to fail in U.S. history, San Francisco-based First Republic lost $100 billion in deposits in the March run following the collapse of fellow San Francisco bank and lender, Silicon Valley Bank. Huh, seems like a clustering there. It limped along for weeks after a group, and this is from Wall Street Journal, limped along for weeks after a group of America's biggest banks came to rescue it with a $30 billion deposit. Okay, so that was the Silicon Valley Bank. $30 billion. We thought that was big until right now you add the numbers together. J.P. Morgan, between what J.P. Morgan's getting in a loan and what FDIC is paying out in this thing, it's $63 billion that's going into to keep this afloat. And like I mentioned, three of the four largest ever U.S. bank failures have occurred in just the last 60 days, y'all. First Republic, with some $233 billion in assets at the end of the first quarter, ranks just behind the 2008 collapse of WaMu. Remember, Washington Mutual. Rounding out the top four are Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, a New York bank, New York-based lender that failed also in March. So other than WaMu, all the rest of them happened like in the last 60 days. So what does this mean for little old J.P. Morgan? You know, they're just trying to be, you know, be part of the mix here. The deal means J.P. Morgan, the largest bank in the U.S., is poised to emerge from the current crisis even bigger. Oh, yeah. The lender has said that it got about $50 billion in new deposits from panicky customers who are looking to move their money to a too-big-to-fail bank. Now, remember too-big-to-fail, 2007-2008, that the banks that had made bad loans and played a risky game were bailed out. The people lost their homes, right? The people lost their homes and got foreclosed on. And it signed on a mortgage, so they never should have, agreed. But they didn't get bailed out. The banks got bailed out. What about those banks? Oh, yeah, J.P. Morgan. Goes on to say in the Wall Street Journal here, so now they're not only getting the money, the loan from the FDIC for the $50 billion, they're also getting FDIC paying off $13 billion of the debt. JP Morgan is getting tons of new money because people are taking their money out of those other banks and putting it in JP Morgan, which, by the way, JP Morgan had $2.4 trillion in deposits at the end of the first quarter. Now, let's hear from Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon's take on this. Jamie Dimon said, "This part of the crisis is over. Everyone should just take a deep breath." Thank you. Thank you, Jamie Dimon, who, of course, is chief executive of JP Morgan, right? Who now has the biggest bank ever. "Don't worry about it," he says. "But this crisis is over. Crisis is over. Just take a deep breath." Now, J.B. Dimon played a key role in earlier efforts to rescue First Republic. His bank was one of the largest contributors to the $30 billion deposit. Remember that one we talked about a second ago. And he tried to rally other banks to take additional steps to help. His bankers were also hired to advise First Republic on its various options. I bet they did. Jamie Dimon said on a call with reporters today, "A lot of people looked at it. The whole world knew it was available, and no one bought it." So what are they to do, y'all? It's little old JP Morgan. I mean, they couldn't. Everybody else had a chance. The move protects, by the way, the bank's depositors here. So what happened? The bank depositors are backed up by FDIC. The shareholders, just like it was with Silicon Valley Bank, have no backup. Nothing. By the way, it says First Republic shares halted in trading this morning. Shareholders were wiped out in Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Said the FDIC seriously considered a bid from at least one smaller bank. Now, I want y'all to hear this because this one is just around the corner from you, probably here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And it was who? PNC Financial. PNC Financial, who, if I want to get like, not talking about the people who work at the branches, tons of good folks. I'm talking about the big company. If I want to like figure out something with our business banking or a credit card or something like that, I might as well go to some bureaucracy in Washington and try to get information. It's that hard. But PNC, little old PNC, they said, was maybe going to bid on it. But the FDIC said there was a highly competitive bidding process. Uh-huh. I'm sure. It was not just JP Morgan's to have? No, no way. FDIC said it was consistent with the requirements to go with the offer that projected to cost the FDIC fund the least. So that's why they didn't take any of the other offers, because it was nip and tuck there at the last minutes for JP Morgan. I'm sure Jamie Dimon was sweating it, whether JP Morgan was going to get this or not. How did we get here? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back and get your calls as well. How did we get here? How did we do what happened in 2007, and then here in 2023, kind of doing it, a different version of it, all over again. At the same time, Biden administration says, you know what, we're gonna tinker with how the mortgage market works and penalize people who have good scores and take money from them to give to those who don't. Yeah, what could go wrong?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1223 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday and our birthday. Thank you for the birthday wishes on the Ascension Technologies text line, which we'll come back to that in just a second. And go to the phones here in just a minute. Point out just later on in the Wall Street Journal story here, talks about how we got here, right? Said when the Fed began raising interest rates last year to cool inflation, we've talked about that, how Jay Powell and company, right? This necessarily, if you want to cool inflation, you boil it down, people have to lose their jobs. I mean, that's how it works. And we keep seeing these employment numbers at numbers that you would think aren't showing these rises in interest or interest rates. You got to cool the economy that way, less money in the system, right? Well, it said when the Fed began raising interest rates last year to cool inflation, customers began demanding higher yields to keep their money at First Republic. Rising rates also dented the value of loans the bank made when rates were near zero. You know, you always think about this, like when you got one of those crazy rates, which I did, refinanced into, you're like, wow. I mean, I remember my parents who bought home in the 80s and they said, "Son, you don't even how great this is." And then you do wonder the people that would lock up the money then at that rate at that time, what's going to happen when rates do go higher. It said rising rates dented the value of the loans the bank made when rates were near zero. Chronic problem turned into an acute one in March when the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank sparked fears about the overlooked risk lurking in the bank system. Investors and customers were especially worried about banks such as First Republic that relied heavily on uninsured deposits that had large unrealized losses in their loan and security portfolios due to rising rates. And we'll get into some of the bad stuff in there, right? Remember how they used to package bad loans with good and try to hide this and that? And we'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. But I do want to go to the phones first, and this is good. I had something or many things wrong, and that's what Leanna says. Terry in Mobile's on with me, a banker. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Sean. Happy birthday to you guys. How are you?
I'm good. Don't feel a day over 14. So... So help me understand this. Thank you, man. I want to learn here though. What did I get wrong on this?
All right. So the FDIC is not funded by the federal government at all. They are funded when banks pay a premium for all of their deposits. I'm going to read you something really quickly that you can find on the internet. The FDIC receives no congressional appropriations. It's funded by premiums that banks and savings and loans pay for deposit insurance coverage.
Right.
So for every dollar we have in our bank, we pay a premium every month, the FDIC, and that's the money that they use in situations like this.
To pay that off. Okay, so that comes from... thank you. Thank you for that correction. Can I argue that it is backed by the... I know full faith and credit of the, I mean, you know, when they created this after, you know, the 30s, 20s or 20s, but if that wasn't paid or if it was more than that, isn't it thank you for the correction. I'm not trying to spin it around. But isn't it the federal government that kind of backs that says that is going to happen?
The only money that they have access to are premiums paid by the banks.
Okay.
And then when the federal government does step in, you were talking about J.P. Morgan Chase, yes, they received $25 billion in TARP money mm-hmm. in 2008, but they paid all of that back with interest like every other bank did. So, yes, the government was a backstop, but all the banks paid it back with interest.
How did we end up here again, Terry? How did we do this again?
Well, I think we heard from the chairman of the FDIC the other day. He said it was poor oversight by the bank, by the bank's board, and by the FDIC. So there's definitely some shared responsibility that we've not maintained oversight as tightly as we should have.
And that's an interesting question, too, right? The federal government at some point went in was it 18 or that? I forget what the package was, but they basically backed off of some of the and said, "Well, we'll let the market keep it. We're just going to put up the guide wires here, but within it, the market's going to determine it." And it seems like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not. Can we do it without having some guidelines put in by the federal government?
No, probably not. Greed sets in, and a lot of other risk factors and that kind of thing. But just trying to stand up a little bit for the banks that do pay these premiums.
Okay, fair.
Most banks do an outstanding job. You have a few that get ahead of themselves and don't provide proper oversight.
Do you worry with having, and we got a minute left here, but as a banker, the size of J.P. Morgan, I mean, consolidation obviously has been a huge thing in the banking world for decades now, but, I mean, they're so big, Terry.
You're right. That does cause some concerns because the government does have this too big to fail mentality where they do step in and are going to provide a backstop. But again, so far in the 2008 crisis, banks did borrow money through the TARP program and pay it back. So not everybody's as rogue as it might sound like a few are.
Fair enough. Terry, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Thank you for the birthday wishes as well. We'll get your calls and texts when we return right after the news. 343-0106, 343-0106. And then there's more about this coming out, too. It's like story after story, but it goes to Jamie Dimon, and then that then links another story about, well, unfortunately, Epstein back in the mix as well. It's like, wow. All right, we'll try to unroll this when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, so 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. It's the birthday station today, or 14. The show's called Midday Mobile. Phone number and the text line, both 343-0106. 343-0106. I finally figured it out after 14 years. And this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. So you got junk. You need it gone. I got the guy who could do it. Now, what's defined as junk? Pretty much anything. Because so many people think, like, okay, boxes and smaller things, and he can handle that. Like, if you got a garage that's not seen a car in years and you've got it full of junk, you want that gone, he can handle that. But it can be big things, too. The number of, like, storage buildings they take down and above-ground pools and swing sets and giant trampolines and haul them off, they could do that. They can go to your storage unit where you're paying every month and have no recollection of actually what's in the storage unit. Well, they can deal with that as well. They can clean that out. Anywhere, a house you're getting ready to sell, anywhere you got junk, you want it gone, you need to get it out of your way. I got the guy, Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Homeboy, crew, all local folks, and making that appointment really easy. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Sometimes you can get that day service, too. If you're, like, procrastinated and all of a sudden it's crunch time, you can do that as well. But go online or call them and find out, a day that works for you, a window time that works for you, set an appointment, and then you'll see that 1-800-GOT-JUNK truck show up. And if you say yes, they get to work right then. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And let me finish this story, and we'll go to the text line. A lot on the text line here, and thank you for all the birthday wishes on the text line for the radio station. Not my birthday, the radio station's birthday. So our baby is 14. Okay, and also big thank you to Terry, who called earlier too. If I stumble over something or get something completely 180 wrong on a story like that, and you know so many professionals listen to the station, I will always listen to you when you got new information to the discussion. All right, so in the Wall Street Journal story, it said that the dismal quarterly earnings report last week, the bank. Right. So we're talking about this First Republic. The bank disclosed the extent of the deposit run. All that money we just talked about, that a lot of it went to J.P. Morgan Chase as people tried to find a safe place, you know, a too big to fail bank to put their money in. Said it filled a hole in its balance sheet with expensive loans from the Federal Reserve and the Federal Home Loan Bank. An untenable future in which it earned less on loans than it paid in liabilities appeared all but certain. The earnings report sent the bank stock down nearly 50% in one day. First Republic shares ended the week at $3.51. They closed at $115 a share on March 8th. My. Wow. All right. So that's the story. But I mean, I want to point out that this is of note. This is of note. Three of the four largest ever U.S. bank failures have occurred in the past 2 months. And as that happens and you get fewer and fewer banks, and this, listen, the consolidation, this has been going on in the banking world and so many other places, you know, it's nothing new. But it's going to get to a point when there, I mean, what if there's just like the bank left? There's just like one bank left. And how will they be reliant on the federal government? Go to the text line and grab a few of these, and then we'll talk more about this, the Epstein factor as well. Yeah, so, okay. Joe says the biggest bank beholden to the government, wonderful. So when the Democrats want us to go full digital, who's going to fight it? And, Joe, the question is, though, is it going to be the government telling the bank or the bank telling the government? Right? I mean, is that a fair way to think about it? I mean, when they're too big to fail, then the fear of failure in a free market, or what used to be called a free market, is going to be not there. So what do they have to fear from the government? And the government's not going to run to close them down because, well, they got to have a bank. By the way, is this traffic update here? Thank you, Sims Guy. Snow Road closed just south of Howell's Ferry. So if you're on snow and trying to get down like to the airport or something like that, that's closed down. Dave, I appreciate it. Looks like a lot of good stuff in this. But when y'all send me long text, we'll have to wait on that. Dave did say, a wise man once told me, if you own a gun, you can rob a bank. If you own a bank, you can rob the world. I mean, it's just the size of J.P. Morgan at this point, too. I mean, and more money will flow to it, of course. I mean, I would do the same, might do the same, because now you know, I mean, truly you knew before they were too big to fail. They showed us that, you know, in 07, 08. But now they're so big that the government's not going to let them fail. So why don't they get a situation they just buy up all the rest of the banks? Unless you have some cartel of smaller banks somehow work together to be able to have the size of J.P. Morgan. I'm not sure. And then I mentioned the Epstein thing, and then we'll get to the—I know we got people waiting here. Story, this is it's a couple different places, but this one from CNN. Back on April 13th, the story came out. I think we've mentioned it briefly on the show, but let's connect this here after the news of the weekend. J.P. Morgan executives knew about sex abuse claims against then-client Jeffrey Epstein, according to a court filing. New court filing alleges J.P. Morgan Chase executives were aware of sex abuse and trafficking allegations against their then-client, Jeffrey Epstein, several years before the financial institution cut ties. The latest complaint, part of a lawsuit against the bank filed by the Attorney General for the U.S. Virgin Islands, adds the additional count alleging J.P. Morgan obstructed federal law enforcement and prosecuting agencies pursuing Epstein. So, once again, which one's, Dave, which one's, or I think it was John or Joe, I'm sorry if I'm naming you incorrectly here. No, it was Joe, okay. Joe, this is what I'm talking about. Which one's going to be more powerful? Because it says J.P. Morgan obstructed federal law enforcement and prosecuting agencies that were pursuing Epstein. This is from the court filing. It says, J.P. Morgan's relationship with Epstein in allowing his sex trafficking venture to access large sums of cash each year went far beyond a normal and lawful banking relationship. The filing goes on to add the bank executives were also aware of potentially suspicious cash withdrawals. Remember, this is J.P. Morgan that just, you know, bought up everything this last weekend. Epstein, 66, was a client of the financial institution until 2013. He was found dead in a New York prison in August of 2019. And we know he's, of course it was a suicide. Of course it was. Epstein was awaiting trial on federal charges, accusing him of operating a sex trafficking ring from 2002 to 2005 at his Manhattan mansion at his Palm Beach estate, in which he paid girls as young as 14 for sex. And then, of course, you had the island, right? They didn't add that in. Says a new complaint against J.P. Morgan filed Wednesday comes days after its CEO, we just talked about, Jamie Dimon, sat down with CNN's Poppy Harlow for an exclusive interview. Which, by the way, it's a cool name. Not Jamie Dimon, Poppy Harlow. Dimon told Harlow that, quote, hindsight is a fabulous gift. End quote, asked whether the bank should have acted sooner after Epstein entered a guilty plea to soliciting prostitution with a minor in 2008. J.P. Morgan's spokesperson declined to comment to CNN about the newly filed complaint. So we got and there's a lot more of the story, and I can pop this up on the Twitter feed so you can read in depth. But here we have, so J.P. Morgan now beyond too big to fail, right? To the point that even in the story it said J.P. Morgan, they use obstructed federal law enforcement and prosecuting agencies that were pursuing Epstein. So they're big enough back then to do this. And now you have this bank that was already gigantic. It's beyond gigantic, and it is related to this story as well. Oh, and speaking of the Epstein thing too, did you see the questions here about the Epstein private calendars that have been posted up and revealed? Story from Fox News said Epstein's private calendar reveals planned meetings with Obama administration official, and a CIA chief. Jeffrey Epstein's newly revealed private calendar showed scheduled meetings with the current CIA director. In other words, the Biden-appointed CIA director, William Burns, a college president and an attorney who served in the Obama administration. This report was published yesterday. New documents, which belong to the rich convicted pedophile, were obtained by the Wall Street Journal, showed planned meetings with a slew of prominent individuals. And I heard, you know, Dalton and Dan were talking about this a good bit this morning. This is who is on the, hey, here's who I see today. I wonder if it was his Outlook calendar or something like that. People meeting with Epstein. Now CIA Director William Burns, Bard College President Leon Botstein, Obama White House Counsel Catherine Rumler, and Professor, you know the name, Noam Chomsky. All the scheduled meetings were to take place after Epstein was jailed in 2008 on charges of solicitation, including soliciting a minor. Wall Street Journal could not prove each scheduled meeting actually took place, and the documents did not reveal the purpose for the meetings. You don't say. Now, go back to the CIA director, right? So the President Biden's CIA director, William Burns, said a spokesperson for Burns, who has taken the CIA's helm since 2021 under the Biden administration, says the nation's spy chief met with Epstein a decade ago when he was trying to leave the government. Quote here from CIA spokeswoman Tammy Kupperman said, Director Burns recalls being introduced by a mutual friend in Washington, D.C., and then met with him once briefly in New York about a decade ago as the director was preparing to leave government service. Said the director did not know anything about him other than he was introduced as an expert in the financial services sector and offered general advice on the transition to the private sector. So you're telling me that Burns met with Epstein just to get some ideas like where to take his 401k or something like that? Goes on to say the director does not recall any further contact, including receiving a ride to the airport. They don't remember that. They had no relationship, end quote. Then you had Rumler, the attorney for the for former President Obama, had dozens of meetings with Epstein following her work for the Obama administration and before taking the reins as, where do you think maybe she would go? Not J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, their top lawyer in 2020. Documents show Epstein was planning on Rumler joining him on his trip to Paris in 2015. I bet that was going to be fun. And another visit to his private island in the Caribbean in 2017. What went on at that place, huh? Goldman Sachs representative told the outlet that Rumler had a working relationship with Epstein when she was employed at the law firm Latham & Watkins, but did not travel with Epstein. Spokesperson said Epstein introduced Rumler to potential legal clients such as anybody? Bill Gates. Uh-huh. Bill Gates. So, but this, I mean, there's a bunch more. We can go down the, you know, and then, you know, all the, and Noam Chomsky and this and all this. But, I mean, let's go back to the top of this, though. And the connection here, you got the CIA chief, right, with this connection. You have a former high-ranking attorney that then goes to Goldman Sachs. But this all links also back to communications while Epstein was, air quotes here, working with J.P. Morgan Chase. I can't wait to just get to like talking about the grocery tax and some local issues too. We'll do that because we have much more of Midday Mobile on the way. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Looking out to the opulent, decadent, opulent lobbies of FM Talk 106.5 here, and I see the pinata has been hung with utmost care. So here at the top of the hour, which means like end of this hour, start of the next hour, we'll be videoing the pinata break here, which hopefully that's full of miniatures, right? You loaded it with a bunch of... You still buy those little miniature liquor things? I don't know what's in there, but it's our 14th birthday party. Probably not okay with that. Hey, it's Midday Mobile. Phone number and the text line the same, 343-0106, whether you want to call or hit us up on the Ascension Technologies text line. Same digits, 343-0106. And before we get the text line quickly here, just to keep going with the theme, because I'm, you know, in next hour we're back to a lot of what I like to do, some state news and what happened in Montgomery last week. But let's keep it fresh and fun. Let's keep it exciting and fun. Let's keep it light. Keep it light and airy. You know, I've been following this story out of France. You know, France moved their retirement age from like 62 to 64. What, 2 months ago? I mean, in super European socialist France, they moved it to you because they couldn't afford it. Remember, we're in the country where you can't even discuss Social Security because politically everybody's like, everything's fine with it. And then you have the stories come out with the actuarial tables that say, well, it really isn't. What are we going to do? Nobody dares talk about it. They moved in France, they moved it forward 2 years, just from 62 to 64 before you get to low retire. And it's been riots. Now, the French are professional rioters or professional protesters, we'll say that. I don't know about the writing, but they like the protest. I mean, you smoke a cigarette, wear a beret, you protest. This has been going on months. Remember, we talked about the millions of people across France that were protesting. Hundreds of thousands in Paris itself. And so another update here on this first day of May, on the high holy communist holiday of May Day. This comes from the Daily Star from the UK. Paris cops set on fire as reported, 2.3 million protesters turn up for demonstrations in France. Remember, I kept saying, pay attention to the story. Pay attention, pay attention. Protesters and police clashed during demonstrations over the French government's plans over a pension, as groups of extremists allegedly caused the chaos in Paris, France. I mean, that's a lot. When you, or 2.3 million, are they extremists? So clashes broke out on the streets of Paris and cops ended up on fire as they tackled May Day pension protesters. Furious demonstrators showed their anger at French President Emmanuel Macron and his unpopular pension policy, which boils down to moving the age from 62 to 64 because they don't have the money to be able to pay people at 62. It said bank windows and bus stops were smashed. Bicycles were torched. You got to really set a big fire to set a, I mean, I guess you get the tires on fire. I mean, what do you burn them with a bicycle? And cops were also hit by objects after Mr. Macron raised the retirement age from 62 to 64 last month. Labor rights are celebrated across the globe on May 1st. Oh, yes, they are. And campaigners, which, by the way, if you didn't hear the show last week, they've had to tamp down and pull back on their May Day celebrations in Cuba because they don't have enough gasoline to run the vehicles, you know, the old American vehicles that are there, which they do a good job keeping them running. But they don't have enough gasoline for their May Day celebration like they wanted. But back to France. Said May Day, around the globe on May 1st, campaigners marked the day by hitting the streets demanding higher salaries, reduced working hours, and better working conditions. Around 1 million marched across France as part of the protest, with 500,000 pouring into the streets of Paris. It is, I mean, if you look at the video and picture, I mean, it is, even for French protesting, it's quite something. Said one of the protesters filmed dismantling a surveillance camera. French police deployed drones exceptionally to film unrest, a move that raised concerns among privacy defenders and activist groups. Yeah. So there you go. So just an update on that. Just an update on what's going on in France. All right. Sean in Baldwin County, from the text line, in this age of online banking, a run can occur overnight. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, Ashley, I mean, I did the story, and I'm the same way. Ashley in Loosedale said, hey, I'm going to need to see the Epstein connections drawn out on a whiteboard. If we could only bring Ross Perot back and say, okay, here's what happened. Here's Epstein. Here's Ghislaine Maxwell. And they doesn't have Meta says, well, Jesus just come back already. I'm getting tired, and the world's getting worse by the minute. Okay, and we'll talk about this next hour because grocery tax coming back in. Tim says, Sean, okay, I understand you and some others are really pushing the repeal of the grocery tax. And let me just say, Tim, because I have to do this for my own self. I've been pushing for it for like 10 years. But he said, do you really think you're going to get the government to reduce taxes? If you remove the grocery tax, all they're going to do is increase another form of tax. Quite possibly. But I think that's a fair discussion, Tim, and we'll get into that one next hour right here on Midday Mobile. News is straight ahead.
Want to know what's trending now? You can defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. No payments and no interest for 6 months. This is a big deal. NetSuite by Oracle has never made an offer like this in its 22 years as the leading cloud financial system. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. Everything they need to reduce manual processes, boost efficiency, build forecasts, and increase productivity across every department. In fact, almost 90% of finance leaders agree that NetSuite helps them reduce manual data entry time. Whether your business generates millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months at netsuite.com/advantage. That's netsuite.com/advantage. netsuite.com/advantage.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5. WAVH FM. Daphne Fairhope Mobile.